Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another episode of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm your host, Alf, and I have Chris Coughlin here with me. I have Simon Clancy here with me.
When did you become the host?
When I started opening the show.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And this is 3 Yards Per Carry, brought to you by the great folks at AutoNation. Since AutoNation is America's largest automotive retailer, chances are they have the vehicle you're looking for. Shop for over 100,000 new cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. From the luxury of a Mercedes-Benz to that Chevy pickup truck you always wanted, they've got it. AutoNation helps finance over 430,000 people every year, and you could be next. Get a great rate today. AutoNation strives to make the car buying process quick and easy, but most of all, stress-free. In addition to an extensive selection, all pre-owned vehicles go through a rigorous 125-point inspection and come with an everyday low, no-haggle price. One price, no pressure, guaranteed. Start your search right now at AutoNation.com. Okay, guys. Twitter is a wonderful place, okay?
We promote it's a cesspit.
It is an absolute hole.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, it's a toilet. It's a floating turd that has segregated society even more than it was segregated before. And it's almost as bad, but not quite as bad as Facebook. And that is the most damning indictment I can possibly think of social media.
And it's being run by like a guy who's become like a Howard Hughes, like, you know.
Except his name is at least Howard Hughes was called Howard Hughes. This knob is just called Jack.
Jack. Okay, we're probably gonna get kicked off of Twitter, but sure. I learned yesterday, and
can't have that happen.
Yeah,
I mean they allow rapists and pedophiles on Twitter, but somebody just takes the piss out of somebody called Jack. I mean, you can shout abuse at women and you know do whatever you want, but no, say that Jack's a knob and that's it. Fucking bite me, Jack. Me.
Well, you can't blame Twitter for educating people, because I got a really good education yesterday, because I learned that a guy that intercepts more than one pass per 4 targets his way has allowed 3 catches or less in 19 consecutive games is secretly actually terrible and not deserving of a Pro Bowl berth, even over the likes of Desmond King. And according to the Madden folks, he's the 41st best corner in the NFL. And when I pressed the guy that actually does some of the ratings for Madden, he told me, well, I would take about 19 guys ahead of him.
I mean, let's not blow this out of context. This is some fella who works for a computer game company. I mean, he doesn't see the light of day. He's a computer programmer. The fuck does he know about the NFL? I mean, seriously, come on.
Well, he said he watched every single snap.
Of course he did.
This year.
Of course he has. Everybody. And not just of Xavier Howard, right? Like, yes. Everybody. Of every single snap. He's
now,
got it all.
You, this same guy, after the draft, rated Minkah Fitzpatrick as the number one defensive back coming out of college, ahead of Derwin James. Now he has Derwin James almost 10 points rated higher than Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Derwin isn't really playing defensive back. Derwin's playing a sort of hybrid linebacker position. So, I mean, his argument goes up in flames from the get-go. I mean, he's playing all over the formation. He's blitzing, he's rushing as a defense, as essentially a pseudo defensive end. He's playing linebacker, he's playing nickel corner, he's playing free safety, he's playing strong. I mean, for somebody just to say, oh, he's a defensive back, I mean, that just literally underlines what a moron this fella is.
Also,
Desmond King's a fucking nickel.
We agree.
He's not an outside corner.
We agree there. That takes me to the Pro Football Focus people that were on a jihad yesterday against Xavier Howard.
Don't get me started on this lot either. Okay. This is literally the worst thing that's ever come out of the UK. Okay.
Wait, I mean, the UK? Wait, I mean, what? It came out of the UK?
Well, the Pro Football Focus is owned or was created by a guy in the UK, most of the analysts that started it up are either UK or Irish based. I mean, this is how it all came about. It's owned by a guy called Neil.
I remember. Yeah.
And then they all moved to lock stock to Cincinnati, and then Chris Collinsworth bought or half or 80% or whatever it is of the company. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is the worst export that we've had since Brexit. I mean, you know. Well, so again, I mean, Sam Monson, bless his cotton socks, thought that the defensive tackle Henry Anderson was a top five pick and was better than the guy that the Jets drafted out of USC, Leonard Williams. I think Henry Anderson was cut by the Colts after a couple of seasons, and you know, I think Williams has been to two Pro Bowls, but what do I know?
Well, speaking of the Pro Bowl, anybody get snubbed that bothered you, Simon?
From the Dolphins or just generally?
Both.
Well, from the Dolphins, I thought Laramie Tunsil was hard done by. You know, Adam Gase today called him the best left tackle in football. He would say that, wouldn't he? But he's certainly up there. And you know, he made some very interesting comments about the fact that they go into the offensive line meetings and they plan protections for the other four guys and leave Tunsil alone and just say to Laramie, "Look, dude, you're on an island on your own, fella. You could just deal with that. We'll just work out protections everywhere else." In terms of the rest of the NFL, I think Chris Jones, the defensive tackle of the Chiefs, got absolutely hosed. I mean, is it 11 straight, 10 or 11 straight games in a row where he's had
10 straight games?
That's phenomenal.
In those 10 straight games,
the guy is absolutely, even if you know nothing about the game and you're going through that Pro Bowl thing, all you have to do is look at the number of sacks he's had. Mm-hmm. I mean, Darius Leonard got absolutely hosed. I mean, you know, Bernardrick McKinney and the guy from Baltimore, I mean, they have no place being in it. You look at Leonard's, even if you just take statistics as a whole, and I hate taking statistics as a whole, but if you just take statistics, he leads the NFL in tackles, he has 7 sacks, he has something like 9 passes broken up, 4 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, 9 passes deflected. I mean, he's having a ridiculous season. I mean, he should be a starter. And you had players from other teams. I saw Tyrann Mathieu today. I think it was Matt Breida today, both tweeting about how ridiculous it was that Leonard wasn't in the Pro Bowl. I mean, something's got to be done about it because it's become it's ridiculous, really. And, you know, there are guys on the team. You know, DeForest Buckner is another. The 49ers defensive tackle should be in the team. I don't know about you, Chris. They seem like the kind of the hot favourites for me in terms of players. Mike Evans is another one. I mean, I think he's second in the NFL in receiving. So, you know, it's certainly a tough crowd, but you've got to try and get Mike Evans in, surely. Quentin Nelson, the Indianapolis guard, Ali Marpet of Tampa Bay, it's been hard done by. I mean, I don't think there's a guard playing better football than Marpet at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree on Tunsil. I thought, well, he still hasn't given up a sack. That Minnesota Vikings game, if you watch him in that game, he was trying to block 5 guys basically on every single play. He's been great. I thought he should have made it. And another thing that I'm just going to stop advocating for him. But Walt Akins, I think, should have gotten a nod, or at least.
Thing is,
made it on special teams. Larry Izzo again.
I mean, getting morons to pick special teams players is. I mean, to be totally frank, who around the league knows? You know, even 5 good special teams players, apart from Matthew Slater, who's had about 52 visits to the Pro Bowl. I mean, Matthew Slater, bless him. I mean, he has obviously been a very good specialist over the years. I think he made the Pro Bowl last year and he played 7 games last season, I think, and still made the Pro Bowl only because it's like, oh, fuck it, it's Matt Slater. He's bad for a very good year.
He actually played 4 games.
There you go. He still made the Pro Bowl. I mean, that sums it up.
Well, your thoughts, Chris?
I thought that, you know, of course I'm always going to stump for Cameron Wake because he's clearly one of the best pass rushers in the NFL still, and one of the most effective pass rushers. But I could see your argument, anybody's argument, saying that he didn't quite play enough snaps to get there now. And, you know, I think he's played a favorable number of snaps compared to some other guys that we would talk about. But, you know, you could say, well, he's just a little bit too part-time. That's fine. Whatever. Laramie Tunsil, I think, is the obvious one that got left out. And I think that, you know, it is too bad. Simon, you actually raised this in another podcast. It's interesting that Jakeem Grant's not going to get his – we knew that he wasn't going to get his due as a return man. Even though he's the only one that's returned multiple?
Yeah, he's the only person that's returned a punt and a kick for a touchdown this year. And I think he led the league in return average.
Yeah, and he led the league in return average, had multiple touchdowns, and you know, he should be in the Pro Bowl for that as the return man, but he's not because the season got ended short. And I think that's really unfortunate. And he's just, you know, I saw him tweeting about it, and I felt for him.
Yeah, and before fans just, you know, before our fans and our listeners say, you know, guys, lighten up, it's, you know, it's just the Pro Bowl. Guys get paid over this. Bonuses get paid out, and it affects the salary cap going forward.
And the young guys in particular, not Laremy Tunsil, he's got plenty of money, but you know, a young guy like Jakeem Grant in particular, he doesn't have a ton of money. He doesn't have a big contract. And he's on his rookie deal, and it's a small sixth rounders deal, and he does have quite a large family. So yeah, it would have been nice for him, and he probably was deserving.
Yeah, Simon, tell the people about BetDSI.
So the NFL and NCAA seasons are coming to an end. Bowl games about to start. Take your pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. In fact, they've already started, but the really good ones are about to start. They're celebrating 20 years online, built an impeccable reputation for great service. And to help you get started, they're offering double your money on your first deposit. So deposit now, start winning, and get $2,500 for free. When it comes to football, BetDSI have a wager on everything you could want or imagine. So if it's happening in sports, they've got a line on it. The NFL, the NCAA, basketball, baseball, UFC, the Premier League, esports. So join BetDSI today using promo code YARDS101. That's us, YARDS101, to get in the action and get paid. Don't stand on the sidelines. Enjoy your games that much more when you play and bet at BetDSI.com. So today, Adam Gase had another press conference. But before we get to that, his future, we've discussed it ad infinitum over the last few weeks. Peter King, formerly of MMQB, now of wherever it is, somewhere. I can't remember where it is, but whatever.
I think he has his own podcast on the Dolphins.
He's at NBC, I think, isn't he? He was on the Pro Football Talk podcast today, and he said, gut feeling, he thought that Adam Gase would be let go at the end of the season. He reiterated the fact that it was just a gut feeling. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on King and thinking that Gase is gone? Do you think he's right? Do you think Steve Ross is feeling that? Do you think that it's going to take a Jim Harbaugh or a John Harbaugh or somebody like that? Because I don't think he's just going to dump him for dumping him's sake. I think he's going to have to. There's got to be a guy out there. God, please don't let it be Doug Marrone. No, he really liked Doug Marrone, though, didn't he? Do you remember? They really liked Doug Marrone. I mean, fuck that.
Yeah, I remember.
I
had the exclusive story. If you remember, I had the exclusive story that it was very, very, very likely that during the meeting, Doug Marrone went and took a dump in our facility in Davie. So, yeah, more breaking news on the 3 yards per carry podcast.
Dump Marrone, that's what it's called. I mean, can you imagine, though, if the Jaguars went on Sunday and Ross is watching, he's like, there's my guy. Al Steven, I've seen a coach. He's called Doug. It's not a Jewish name, but, you know.
All right.
Where is he? He's been in there for 20 minutes.
He's been taking a dump in our toilet.
Now, of course, now since we're kind of like a media entity, quote unquote, air quotes. Exactly.
Are we?
Yeah, I guess, maybe.
Well, we have a host now.
Yeah.
Apparently so. I mean, this is the first I've heard of it.
The Dolphins themselves, the Miami Dolphins, actually think we're a media entity because they address us as such in emails. And very cryptic emails. But yes, let me qualify my remarks. I do not have confirmation that he defecated in our facility.
That's true.
Oh my God. This is the host. There's no evidence.
I have zero evidence. But I do know he excused himself for about
produce the minutes. Poop.
Okay. Yeah. He excused himself for 15 minutes during his interview, okay, with Mike Tannenbaum. All right, enough of Doug Marrone's dumps.
To be honest, though, I am so mentally challenged that I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right. That's true.
All right. Peter King. First of all, he thinks that pumpkin beer is actually good. So let's take
it. Well, I love Peter King is a really nice guy. And I've met him on a number of occasions. And he's lovely. And it doesn't matter who you are. He will shake your hand, say, Peter King, I want to know your story. So all hail Peter King.
Yeah, but his taste in beer and coffee is absolute shit.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Well, coffee is that. Shit. So
Yeah. Now, if he says it, I'm going to, you know what? I'm just going to lend it a little bit more weight.
Definitely. There's gravitas in. Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, he's absolutely credible. And trust me, he probably does talk to Stephen Ross from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Because contrary to popular reports, Stephen Ross is not a guy that just puts himself inside of his, you know, locks himself inside of his office in New York somewhere and just watches the game for a couple of hours. He actually follows the team pretty closely.
So realistically then, okay, let's talk, because this is what people listening want to hear. If he does get sacked, realistically, who are the names that would be in the frame? Both the Harbaugh boys, obviously. If the Ravens play the Chargers at the weekend, the Ravens lose that, then Indy go into prime position with two games to go to take the final playoff spot in the AFC. I can't remember who Indy have got this weekend, but next weekend they play the Titans in a sort of what could Washington be a winner takes. Okay, so they have Washington who are down to their fourth string quarterback, Josh Johnson, and I mean, India in the box seat. If Baltimore don't get into the playoffs, the argument against John from Baltimore will be that why didn't he make that change sooner to Lamar Jackson? Because essentially, mm-hmm. Jackson's won. Is he now 4-0 or 5-0? You know, so that will be the argument.
4-1.
Okay, 4-1. Oh yeah, so he lost to the Chiefs, didn't he? So I mean, no harm in losing to the Chiefs in overtime. Yeah, absolutely. So you know that. They're certainly two names. Who else are we thinking? Who else are we? Because as much as we'd probably like him, I don't think that, for example, Steve Ross is going to want to go down the path of a Lincoln Riley, for example, just because of what happened with Adam Gase. So are we looking at names like Mike McCarthy? Are we looking at names like, God forbid, Mike Smith? Are we looking at, you know, those kind of names, a more venerable coaching? You know, what if somebody like Dan Quinn shakes free in Atlanta, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he'd look at a first-time coordinator? Do you think of Josh McDaniels? What are some of the names that you guys are thinking of? And whilst you talk about that, I'm going to look back at who we interviewed when we gave Gase the job.
I think the biggest names that you can come up with are going to be the ones that that Steve Ross is going to go after, of course. And the biggest names are both of the Harbaugh brothers, you know, who we already mentioned. But I think you got to give something here to Vic Fangio of the Chicago Bears, the defensive coordinator. He is the guy that we think that, you know, Adam Gase might have even wanted to get as his defensive coordinator. Didn't work out from one reason or another. But I think he's going to – if they ask Jim Harbaugh, if Steve Ross asks Jim Harbaugh about Vic Fangio, I wonder what he's going to say. He might recommend him. I mean, they coached together for a long time. And you might even say that Vic Fangio's defense in San Francisco was a big reason why they were so successful with Jim Harbaugh, and a big reason why Steve Ross might have liked Jim Harbaugh so much to begin with. Another one that I think you mentioned, you know, Dan Quinn, and that's certainly, but Josh McDaniels, everybody's trying to get him out of New England. Everybody thinks that you can't get him out of New England because he thinks he's heir apparent to Bill Belichick, but it wouldn't surprise me to try. It wouldn't surprise me if Steve Ross tries. But you mentioned Lincoln Riley and thinking, well, you know, he's not going to go that direction because of Adam Gase. He might.
He might.
I think at his heart, Steve Ross does want an offensive guy. And I think that, you know, even if Adam Gase doesn't work out, he might still want Lincoln Riley. And so that it's something that that wouldn't surprise me if he pursued, especially if Miami starts to go kind of all in on Kyler Murray as a quarterback. So
do you want to hear these names? These are the names that we reached out to or interviewed before we gave Gase the job. You ready?
Go ahead.
So we reached out to New England for both Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia, but were denied interviews with both. We interviewed Doug Marrone, Captain Toilet. We reached out to Pittsburgh to interview Todd Haley. We reached out to the Cincinnati Bengals to interview Hugh Jackson. Be still my beating heart. We interviewed Dan Campbell. We interviewed Anthony Lynn. We interviewed Terrell Austin. We interviewed Mike Smith. formerly of the Atlanta Falcons, and we gave two interviews to Mike Shanahan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the rumor back then, if you remember clearly, because it's all coming back to me, Mike Shanahan, the rumor was that we consulted with him over over the job, and that Mike Smith was essentially offered the defensive coordinator job, and he turned it down. If you remember the rumors, none of this is confirmed, but that was what was, you know, moving around the rumor mill back then.
Well, Shanny had two interviews, so I can't think that both of those were kind of consultative.
It was sort of like, but they weren't really official interviews. Like, they were like two conversations. It was weird. There was a weirdness about that. It wasn't like two formal interviews. I remember that.
Yeah. I think that what you're going to see this time is if he is going to fire Adam Gase, I don't think he's going to repeat his MO of the past, which is to hire a first-time coach. I think he's going to want a guy with experience, and he's probably going to do the whole Jim Harbaugh gambit once again.
What about some really good college coaches like Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, for example, or you know, guys that you think like Chris Peter, probably would be Chris. What about David Shaw at Stanford? You know,
Bob Stoops.
But, well, yeah. I mean,
Urban Meyer. What about Urban Meyer?
What about Matt Campbell at Iowa State, for example? Done a great job with David Montgomery, and Hakeem Butler, really highly rated coach. You know, offensive minded guy. Who's the guy at? I interviewed him earlier this year for the magazine. The guy at Baylor.
Matt Rhule?
Yeah, Matt Rhule, who's done a brilliant job at turning around Baylor. I mean, what about those guys? What about somebody like Dave Taub at Kansas City?
I know one guy that loves Matt Rhule, and this is somebody that actually speaks with associates of Steve Ross, and so has sort of a little bit of insight into ownership. The fact that Matt Rhule's name comes from there is interesting to me. But I will say that to Peter King's point, I heard this too. Like, I heard this especially this week that seat just got hotter and start looking at head coach candidates. And so I don't know what to make of it. It could all cool down. There's still 2 weeks to go. It's always – the season is always longer than everybody thinks. You can change your mind 17 times before the end. But I think that it's interesting. I think that this is a possibility. And I know you guys don't agree with it, but I think it becomes more of a possibility if Adam Gase brings some of the answers to the table when he talks to Steve Ross about what's going on this season and what's been going on the last three seasons. And if he says some of the same things that he said today in his press conference, and I'm Steven Ross, and that's what I'm hearing from him, then I'm probably firing him on the spot.
Well, it's break time. Goodbye.
On the Five Reasons podcast, we've got you covered on everything Miami sports. We've got a podcast out every Monday on the Dolphins and the football weekend. We've got original reporting on the big sports stories you care about, like trade talks involving Jimmy Butler and JT Realmuto, and great guests on both current events and a little Miami sports nostalgia. On a recent episode, we were joined by former Heat guard Tim Hardaway.
Pat Riley didn't want me to talk trash. We had to sit down and say, he said, I don't want you to be out there talking. I want you to be, concentrate on what we need to do and helping us win. So I was like, all right, fine. I won't talk. Because, I like to talk. So I said, well, let me do it in practice. He said, okay, you can do it in practice, but not in game. I said, all right, fine.
We've got you covered on the Five Reasons Sports Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Seth Levitt, and I am here with two-time Miami Dolphins team MVP.
Seth, man. They already know this is OJ McDuffie. Why don't you tell them what we're really here for?
We're excited to join the crew at the Five Reasons Sports Network to bring you our new podcast, The Fish Tank, Dolphins Tales from the Deep. OJ, tell them what they can expect when they dive in.
Yeah, Big Seth, we've got some of your favorite all-time Dolphin players in the tank sharing some of the best stories that you've never heard.
So it looks like Sasquatch because he's is chasing me. Because you know Izzo with his clothes on. He's so hairy, that guy.
Wait, why are you looking at me? Like, I know Lizzo with his clothes off.
Seth will know Lizzo with his clothes off.
So make sure you find The Fish Tank on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or if you're one of those Android people, Google Play Music, or on several cross-platform apps, including Podbean and Stitcher.
Thanks for diving in.
Welcome back, 3 yards per carry. Myself, Simon Clancy, the mentally challenged one, the ego, Chris Kaufman, and the that everybody thinks is all right, but a bit of a douchebag, but all right. That's Alf.
Hey, nobody called me a douchebag on that. Those
Chris and I did.
Tolerable?
Yeah, tolerable, but we're all morons, apparently.
Yeah.
But I'm the mentally challenged one.
I'm not a moron, so, I'm just in love with my opinion.
Yeah. So just bear with me, listener, because it's going to take me, as the thick one, a little bit of time to work out how I cue in this next section. So if you're feeling uncomfortable with my slowness, shall we say, kind of compare me to Forrest Gump a little bit, except I'm probably not going to run for a touchdown against Alabama for Alabama or set up a shrimp company.
I can hear the gears creaking in there. Like,
I mean, mate, they need some serious oiling. Some serious oiling. I'm not putting my degree to any use here at all. Matt Rhule, by the way, interviewed, didn't he, for the Colts head coaching job.
Did he?
Was rumored to have been offered it as well in the immediate aftermath of the Josh McDaniels furore. But look at that. I used the word furore. F-U-R-O-R-E. Furore. Mentally challenged. Anyway, Chris was mentioning before the break that Adam Gase had this press conference today, which I watched, and he was essentially asked to sum up concisely where things had gone wrong on the road. And Chris made the point that he gave a sort of frustrating answer. He said, look, the Bengals were playing really well offensively. Green Bay was still in the playoff race when we played them. It was a tough time to play New England. They were coming off, they were 1-2. And, you know, on the road in New England, there's always a tough place to play. And it wasn't, it was a little bit perfunctory in terms of it wasn't a great response. We've had this kind of discussion over the last few hours back and forth on social media, on WhatsApp. And Chris made his point before the break. My point was slightly that he had already, you know, you can go back to the dolphins.com and you can watch back the press conferences after individual games, certainly on the Mondays after individual games. And he's talked in fairly lengthy detail about where things have gone tits up and been critical of situations. So, for example, the Cincinnati game, he talked about the fact that, look, you know, we were dominating. We were 20-3 up or whatever. Tunsil then gets the head injury. Sam Young comes in. Sam Young gets smoked. And Tannehill makes two terrible throws. And, I mean, he even did it in there when he called out Salguero. When Armando Salguero said about Tannehill was just playing, you know, kind of average. And he was like, you know, really? I mean, we were 3-0. And then we ran into a buzzsaw in New England. And then in the Bengals game, you know, we lose our left tackle. He throws two stupid throws and we end up losing the game. So it's difficult. And we discussed what is he supposed to say in that situation? Mm. And here's me playing devil's advocate here. What is he supposed to say? Is he supposed to come out and go, you know what? The team's shit and, you know, the injuries are piled up and I'm not getting anything from the players and the coaching staff need to go and these guys are just letting me down week in and week out. Or is he supposed to sort of protect his players? Because you don't want to go back into that locker room and look around and go, fucking hell, you know, we're playing our balls off here and this twat's just gone and taken us apart on national. Sod playing for him for the last 2 games this season, you know, because guys are not going to be here next season. They might be playing for other teams. So, you know, we're going to talk about guys that might be cut. It's just a difficult situation, isn't it, to know what's, you can't do right for doing wrong in some of these situations. And, you know, I don't know. I totally get your point, Chris. I also see the other side of it where you kind of want to protect your guys. You've already talked about this. You know what Gase is like? He can be very short in press conferences when he knows that he's made a point before. Like, for example, people were complaining about the Rashad Jones thing today. If you watched the press conference, you know, when Rashad earlier in the week said about he was being played out of position, somebody asked him the question and you could see the smile. And he often tries to fight the smile. You know, and he knows he's going to laugh and he starts to laugh. And he said, you know what, we talked about this earlier in the week, Rashad and I, we had a really good laugh about it. And I've just been joking with him all week about him being played out of position. And he was actually laughing. But yeah, if you see
Rashad's own, like, that's the thing. Like, you have to see Rashad's own press. You know, it wasn't a press conference. He was in the locker room, sitting at the locker room, making some comments. I mean, he wasn't being overly critical of anybody. I mean, he was just, you know, hey, this is what the coaches want. You know, he was being honest, and honesty is fine. Like, honesty is like, you know, yeah, tell me you'd rather play free safety, but, you know, this is what's good for the team right now. This is what the coaches have decided, and they have reasons. I mean, he alluded to it several. They have reasons. So this is what they feel is all right. You know, it was all overblown, but that's the point. That's the point. You ask the question, what is he supposed to say? And to me, like, almost even asking that question kind of assumes that what he isn't supposed to say is the truth, or that, you know, that he's not, you know, he can't say the truth for some reason. Well, can't you? I mean, why can't, okay, if you think it's going to hurt somebody and you don't want to say the truth, if you don't want to put players out on the line and start bad mouthing them and stuff like that.
Somebody's cutting their fucking nails.
Yeah, that's me. I'm mentally challenged.
My ears are about to fall out.
Seriously, I thought somebody, it sounded like you were like hitting yourself on the back, like a,
you know, I've literally got one more now to do, so just do, call, right,
it. That nail, and then
just get it out of the way.
And then Chris, pick up your point like somewhere in there. All right, let us know when you're done.
I'm done.
All right, hit it, Chris. Start with the Rashad thing, because I'm gonna have to cut some of it, because it was like plack, plack, plack. And I think one of them hit the microphone.
You need to keep it in. I just got to do my toenails as well. Just talk. That further away.
You can lower your mic, you know?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the listeners wouldn't get as much fun if I lowered my mic. This, apart from me cueing the break, this is the funniest thing that's been said out of my mouth.
All right, Chris.
You're clearly mentally challenged.
Mate.
Mentally limited. It wasn't limited. It was mentally limited.
Limited. That's right. Yeah, mentally, that's right. What? Mentally
limited. If you saw Rashad Jones's press conference itself, it wasn't really that big of a deal that people made of it. He didn't seem to be saying anything by it to begin with. So I'm not sure why that became a thing. And I'm not very surprised why Gase, you know, it was just a moment of honesty for Rashad saying, hey, I'd prefer to play free safety, but they've decided that that's not the best thing for the team right now, and they have reasons for that, and that's, you know, whatever. I'm just going to do what they want to do.
Yeah,
well, about the Kenny Stills thing, wasn't it?
Play strong safety.
But, yeah.
But
he
was, but Adam Gase,
or, yeah, sorry.
Adam Gase actually went into detail in today's presser with the media.
About why he didn't.
Yeah, why it wouldn't happen. And he said most of it is formation-driven, and that's the system, and the system is the system is the system is the system.
One problem that I keep seeing with this question, you know, what was he supposed to say? And I understand it, but at the same time, there's sort of – the question comes along with an assumption that what he shouldn't say is the truth. And I just think, well, why not? Why don't you just say the truth? I mean, and I understand that coaches rarely say the truth to the media because – you know, they all think that they're putting men on the moon, and they all think that they're guarding nuclear codes. But, you know, why can't you just tell us the truth in this case? If the truth is that, yeah, you know, this is a big problem for us, we understand, you know, we're getting our arms around it, we have some ideas about what we need to change, and, you know, we're going to do, you know, this, that, and the other, but that kind of has to stay in-house. And we can't just go on and tell you everything that that we're thinking about it. If that's the truth, just say that. Just say, I know, but I'm not going to tell you, essentially, and find a way to say that. What he did instead was come up with a bunch of BS excuses. And that's what he did. You know, this team was tough. This team was really tough. I know this team's not very good, but they were hot at the time. You know, or this team, Minnesota Vikings, you know, they had just fired their offensive coordinator. The guys were all fired up. Well, you know what teams are generally fired up when you play them? Playoff teams. You're telling me that you're never going to beat a playoff team. You're never going to beat a tough team to play. And that's not acceptable to me. I don't understand how that would be acceptable to anybody. If I were Steve Ross and I asked you that question and this was the answer you said to me, I would fire you. I would say, okay, so you're telling me you're not going to beat anybody tough. Okay, that's, well, you know, bye. You know, that's what I'm saying. So if he was telling, if he actually believes it, if he actually believes what he said, and what he said in that press conference today, then that's a big problem. If he doesn't necessarily believe it, which is, I think, all of us kind of have that running theory that he doesn't actually believe that. And if he doesn't actually believe it, but he just doesn't really respect the question to begin with and doesn't think that there is an answer and doesn't, you know the answer, then that's a problem for me too, because the bottom line is, whether you're talking about games that he's played with Tannehill or whether you're talking about games that he hasn't played with Tannehill, they score 10 fewer points a game on the road than they do at home. I mean, so it's like 27-17 with Ryan Tannehill. It's something like 24-14 without, you know, without in 2017 when they didn't have Ryan Tannehill. It was like 24-14. They have a huge disparity between their home record, especially with Tannehill. We're just talking about it. 10-1 at home with Ryan Tannehill, Adam Gase is. And on the road with Tannehill is something like, you know, 3-8. And they score 10 fewer points a game. If you can't even, you know, start to tell me why that is, or can't even acknowledge that maybe there's something going on, you know, systemically that we have to fix here about our approach, then that is a problem for me. And the other possibility is he does know all those things. He does have some ideas, but he's just, the last thing he's going to do is tell the media. And, you know, that's ubiquitous for the NFL landscape. I don't like it, but I accept it. But if that is the case, that's probably what he should have said instead of coming up with a bunch of BS excuses. And that's what he sounded like today was excuse. Ah, this team was hot at the time. This team had just fired their coach. You know, don't give me that. That was horrifying that he came up with that answer. And it did sound kind of rehearsed. I agree that, you know, it sounded like something that he'd been working on, and it's terrible.
What if he said something like this? Had we won the Cincinnati and Colt game, we'd be shooting for 500 on the road, and none of you assholes would ask me any of this because we'd be playing for the division title. Would you
have accepted that offer? What if you did a press conference where he cut his nails through the entire thing?
That would have worked better than what he did say.
Just saying. Right.
I think that the media at this point, I think they want him to apologize for losing. And we all saw the goddamn games. We saw the fucking Cincinnati Bengals game. We saw the Colts game. We know why they fucked up. We know why they lost.
Some members of the media more than others.
Okay. So I don't know I think that they want him to just get up there and start diagramming each and every play that they blew on the road. Not the games that they got smoked in. I think maybe that should be part of the question too. Why do you get smoked so much on the road? But
that's exactly what they were asking.
What the fuck is he going to say? I don't know. Do you know why they get smoked? I don't.
But he's supposed to know. And if he doesn't, that's a problem.
Oh my! I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say then, because now I'm out of words.
I don't care what you say. I want to know what Adam Gase has to say about it.
Like, do you think that he has a play sheet that says, all right, this play is absolutely going to go for a turnover right here. And this was going to be a 5-yard loss. And this one's going to be an 11-yard sack. No, they just play like shit on the road. It just happens.
That's the point. It doesn't just happen. And if it does just happen, then it's unacceptable.
Well, then fire every fucking body, including the players.
Well, that's the question you're asking Adam Gase. Okay, listen. There is this monster disparity. This is one of the biggest home versus road. Listen, across the NFL landscape, the disparity between what you score at home and what you score on the road is about 3 points. Why do you think that there's that 3-point, you know, that three-point swing for home versus away in betting and in Vegas? It's about 3 points. For the Miami Dolphins, it is wide out for three years. It is gapped out to 10 points. Okay, and you can't tell me what that is. You can't even begin to tell me, you know, what you think that might be over the course of 3 years and 48 games or 46. Although technically playoff, whatever. You can't tell me why that is. Begin to tell me why there's such a huge disparity there, because we're not just talking about this year. We're talking about last year too, and we're talking about the year before. And this is something that's been consistently happening. It's been so consistent. How do you think I've been able to predict Dolphins outcomes all fucking year? Because I know that they're shit on the road and they're good at home.
Can I just say that about five minutes ago, Chris said shit and then apologized for doing so. But now he's giving it the Fs.
Now, all I would say is this, okay? Had they won the Cincinnati Bengals game, had they won the Colts game, none of these narratives would exist. Yeah.
You know, okay. if the queen had balls, she'd be the king.
But neither would the narrative of them being shit on the road, because
the king would be the king.
Yeah.
What's that?
The king would be the king.
Who's the king?
The king is the king. Even if she had balls, the king would still be the king, technically.
That's true.
That's a good point. So I think the question should be, why did they blow?
I'm sorry, I'm limited in this, and plus I'm in love with what I'm saying. So,
yeah. Peyton Lee, I'm mentally challenged, so I've not been involved at all.
All right, guys. Let's move off of Dead Man Walking, Adam Gase.
Let's get to this nothingness game at the weekend.
Oh my god. Let's start off with, this is the last home game for, I guess I would say, about 11 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Give me who is absolutely playing their last home game in a Miami Dolphins uniform. Simon.
Brock Osweiler.
Mm. Okay, that's a lot.
No, he's not playing.
No. Well, you never know. Devontae Parker.
I think that's a really good bet.
Ted Larson.
Let's hope.
Pretty good bet.
Andre Branch.
Yes.
Yes.
Robert Quinn.
Yes.
Fair
Ziggy
bet.
Ziggy Hood and Sylvester Williams.
Okay, now we're just getting into.
Yeah.
TJ McDonald.
Okay, there you go.
That one's interesting. Danny Amendola retires.
Danny Amendola, maybe. Frank Gore, even though he's not playing, he won't play again. I know. I'm not stupid. I'm not mentally challenged.
Aren't you?
And do you know outside better Kiko Alonso?
I think, yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
Should
about
be.
That one.
It should be. The way that Raekwon and Jerome Baker have both come on, I can't help but wonder, you know, if that's the case. But, you know, do you know what? Because we all think if Adam Gase is not sacked, then it is Vance Joseph basically coming back to be the defensive coordinator. And if Vance Joseph is coming back to be the defensive coordinator and Ndamukong Suh is no longer here making an ungodly sum of money and discouraging you from running a 3-4 defense, then will Vance install the defense that he has explicitly said he prefers, the 3-4 that he learned under Wade Phillips and Mike Nolan? And if he comes here and switches us that way, does Kiko fit?
Not really. Plus, he's got these, you know, he's got these kids, these two Ohio State kids running around, and you know, Baker looks better and better each week, and you know, there's the way that we never get pressure, you know, look at the way that teams have blitzed us, and yet we just send four men most of the time. We actually have success when we send, you know, blitzers, but we do it so infrequently.
We've had some great success running five defensive lines.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right,
because
Chris.
I feel like you might get the best out of Charles Harris, who might be playing his last game at the weekend, because God alone knows he might not be here next season.
Yeah.
I'll just say real quick about Charles Harris, because I agree that he's been
in the 34, yeah.
Yeah, but in the 34, as an outside linebacker,
yeah.
I wonder a little bit.
Me too.
So,
all right, Chris, who would be your surprise that not be here next year?
It's not exactly – well, at this point, I don't know. At this point, I would be a little bit surprised if they continue on with Ryan Tannehill, because even if Adam Gase isn't done with it, I sense that Steve Ross is.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I kind of wonder about that. I just think, you know, $19 million, that's what he's set to make. I know that, Simon, you have some qualms about pretending that Teddy Bridgewater is a Hall of Famer. And I know that you guys both think that he's going to be expensive, but he only made $6 million this year and he didn't play a snap. I don't think you go from making $6 million this year to making $16 million next year without playing a snap. So I think that, yeah, he's going to get a bump because demand is increased, but that bump gets you to like maybe 10 or 11 million, like a Jay Cutler type contract, and that's it, and that's going to be tied to whether he actually starts and plays, just like this contract was. So, you know, he's going to be about half, maybe a little bit more than half of the cost of Ryan Tannehill, and yet quite frankly I have more confidence in him than I do Tannehill. So and that's not saying much. You know, I'm not saying that Teddy Bridgewater, let's pencil him in for the Hall of Fame or something like that, because you know, what is Tannehill at this point with his body continually breaking down like this? So, yeah, I think that they've probably going to be done with Tannehill. That's my one.
All right, let's get to this godforsaken game. Simon.
23-13 Miami.
There you go. Chris?
Well, they're predictable at home and predictable away. So, you know, I'll go the same thing, except what? how much will I score against this defense? I'm going to go 17-13.
They'll beat the Jags, lose to the Bills.
That seems extremely.
You just got to one up me, don't you?
Always, brother. Always.
That seems very likely. Yeah, I would say pretty much the same thing. 16. Yeah. I'll go 16-10. Dolphins. The Jaguars are going to start one starting offensive lineman from last week, and that one starting offensive lineman is Eric Flowers. If they can't beat a team that is obviously tanking, then, yeah, they should fire everybody, and Adam Gase included, of course. Mm. All right, a little public service announcement. Next week we will not have two shows because it's Christmas. And the following week we will have only one show as well because it'll be New Year's. So our next two releases will be on December 27th and January the 3rd. All right, this concludes a very angry edition of 3 Yards Per Carry.
I mean, we all know who got angry.
Yeah, okay.
And it wasn't the thick one, and it wasn't and it wasn't the Mr. Middle of the Road. It was Captain Ego. Although, right. Chris, wait a minute though.
Right.
We say that you're the ego, but somebody's just taken over as the host, nominated himself as a presenter, de facto host. I mean, they call you the ego, but I mean, I don't know, brother.
I don't know.
We're just saying.
We're working under tough management.
Get us out of here.
All right.
Happy Christmas, everybody. Happy Christmas.
Yes. And the next time we speak to you guys, maybe everybody's fired, and maybe Stephen Ross sold the team too. All right. Enjoy the holidays. See you guys on the 27th. And that is it. There is no more. Till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.